This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is finally Friday, the 12th day of April, 2024. I'm Steve Z, and this is the Truth Hurts program. And we've got a lot to talk about, but I want to let you know today's program is brought to you by the Shandu Motor Company, electric vehicles from the Biden family of dealerships.
Electric vehicle buyers, do you miss the sound of a growling exhaust from your gasoline or diesel car and you've been putting off buying an electric vehicle because they're just too damn quiet? The all-new Shandu Kamala Coupe is just what you've been waiting for. With an artificial intelligence-based computerized external speaker system, the Kamala Coupe can be programmed so that when you step on the accelerator pedal, the Shandu Kamala Coupe can make fake exhaust noises. Just like Kamala Harris's entire career and her intelligence being artificial, the new Kamala Coupe can be programmed to make noises from the fake exhaust pipe, just like Vice President Kamala Harris makes strange noises from her mouth. When you step on the accelerator in your new Kamala Coupe today, you'll hear exhaust noises like... And if you don't like the whining sound of the Kamala cackle, you can program the Kamala Coupe to make other Democrat sounds, like Joe Biden stuttering.
That turned blonde.
See and hear the all-new Shandu Kamala Coupe at your nearby Shandu dealers. The range is no better than before, but every penny you spend goes to the Hunter Biden Defense Fund and the wonderful Biden family friends in the Ukraine.
We can't rebuild our economy.
A lot of you out there asking me why I haven't been doing so many of the commercials. We've been away from Studio 63 during the renovation, so now that we're back, we can get back to more of what you enjoy this program for, some of our personal take on things, some of our humor, some of our fancy commercials, and of course, all those Biden gaffes. It's going to be sad if Joe Biden loses the election and goes away into obscurity along with Camel Toe Harris, because we won't get the gaffes anymore. We won't get the lies. We won't get the double standards. It will be strange to have Donald Trump back in office, hopefully making America great again, but only time will tell. So let's go through some of the headlines for this Friday morning. U.S. employers in March have planned the highest number of job cuts since January of last year, announcing 90,309 job cuts in March, which was a 7% increase from February, according to data released earlier in the week. The amount of planned layoffs marks the highest monthly total since January of 2023, when employers announced 102,943 cuts, and that came just after the Christmas 2022 season. There's no excuse other than Bidenomics, Bidenflation, and silly things like those massive increases in fast food workers' minimum wage jobs in California. So, what has Joe Biden got to say about it? Well, nothing, of course. He's hiding in his basement again because they don't want him out there speaking. Every time he opens his mouth, the gaffe machine just makes things worse. New York Post's Dan McLaughlin writes, Joe Biden can't get out of the hole he's already dug himself. It was supposed to be unthinkable. After losing to Joe Biden in 2020, after the January 6th felony indictments and all the other legal troubles for Donald Trump, after years of surveys and polls showing solid majorities of Americans widely dislike Donald Trump, after feuds with Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis that have yet to heal, it's only 7 months to Election Day, and polls are consistently showing Donald Trump leading Joe Biden by wide margins in some polls and by narrow margins in others, but nonetheless, Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden in the polls. This article says, how could Joe Biden screw this up so badly? The latest Wall Street Journal poll shows Donald Trump leading Joe Biden by around 8 points in six of the battleground states, including Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and North Carolina. And he's only trailing by 1 point, Mr. Biden, in Wisconsin, with a pure head-to-head matchup. It's actually a statistical tie in Wisconsin. Looking at the Real Clear Politics polling averages, the story is much the same. Trump leads Biden in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, and by 3 points or more in each of those other five big battleground states. In states with a clear poll leader, Trump leads Biden 219 to 214 in the Electoral College right now. If you count every lead, no matter how thin, Trump will win by a lopsided 312 to 226 Electoral College votes, which is the largest margin since Barack Hussein Obama in the questionable election of 2012. But it's not over yet, he says. This would mean Trump carrying eight states where Democrats are defending one Senate seat in November while losing none, and Republicans are defending one Senate seat. Chuck Schumer can't possibly be happy at this prospect. It's early for Trump to start counting his chickens, however. The polling industry has struggled to be reliable in their forecasting of elections. Fewer and fewer Americans, like me, refuse to answer their phone or even have a landline. And some of Trump's leads are modest. The Journal poll was conducted March 17th through 24th, and the national polls that were in the field since then have been slightly more favorable to Biden. Democrats should not start counting their chickens either. You'd rather be where Trump is in the polls right now than where Biden is, that is for certain. Moving on to another topic, Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island visitors are now exposed in a data breach. Location data from nearly 200 mobile devices for people who visited Pedophile Island, Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile paradise, was collected by controversial data broker known as Near Intelligence, and it revealed the residences of many of the guests who attended Pedophile Island. Near recorded visits from 80 cities across the U.S., corresponding to many affluent homes. What meant to be a marketing data collection, the data was sold to the U.S. military. It mapped out not just millionaire estates, but areas where Epstein's victims lived as well. This, of course, raises privacy concerns from the attorney Lisa Bloom, who has represented many of the alleged victims. Most of the clients who come to me, she said, their number one concern is safety and privacy. It's deeply concerning to think that any sexual abuse victim's locations can now be tracked and stored and sold to someone who can do whatever they want with it. Now, no one beyond Epstein and Maxwell have been charged in the multiple sex trafficking cases, though the FBI is in possession of evidence. Epstein did not commit suicide. In January, some of the documents related to Pedophile Island were unsealed, revealing associations to prominent figures like Bill Clinton, Jesse Jackson, and Governor J.B. Pritzker. The records did not raise any new allegations, but further expose information about Prince Andrew and others related to a Jane Doe number 3. It's going to come out, my friends, but it's going to come out after the election when it doesn't matter that you know that people like Cigar Bill Clinton was visiting Pedophile Island and potentially having sex with girls as young as 13 years of age. Sick, twisted Democrat pedophiles. Hey, I wonder if Joe Biden visited, and if so, how many times? Remember the movie Beetlejuice? If you say the name three times, Michael Keaton appears in a clown costume and pretends to be a ghost? Well, Beetlejuice, former Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, has reared her ugly head into politics once again. After being ousted as the city's mayor, she has now been hired at $400 per hour to investigate a woman who has been called the so-called worst mayor in America. So they hired one of the worst mayors in America to investigate another potentially worst mayor in America? The village of Dalton, Illinois, voted on Monday to hire former Chicago Mayor Beetlejuice, Lori Lightfoot, the bug-eyed, alopecia-suffering, African-American Democrat, possible lesbian, to be a special investigator to look into Dalton, Illinois' Mayor Tiffany Henyard, another African-American, 13% hyphenated minority Democrat. Starting Tuesday of this week, Lori Lightfoot will be paid a whopping $400 per hour to gather information on Mayor Henyard's alleged spending and finance mismanagement in the town of Dalton, Illinois, as well as to look into any potential state and federal violations. Ahead of Monday's vote, Lori Lightfoot said she understood the residents want to go in a different direction from Henyard, and she promised to, quote, follow the facts where they lead, unquote. At the end of her investigation, Lightfoot is set to present a report to the village of Dalton on her findings. The findings in the report will determine what happens beyond that. Trustees also voted on issues that the Dalton mayor had previously vetoed and about paying vendors and invoices that have not yet been paid by the village. I reported on this mayor, Miss Henyard, earlier in the year when I compared her to the New Orleans mayor, La Toilette Cantrell, who takes city money and goes on lavish trips in first class despite the city's charter requiring city officials to travel in coach. She also has had a fling with her boy toy executive protection detail police officer in which she spent many, many sleepless nights in a city-run apartment in famous historic Jackson Square in the French Quarter. Monday's vote in Dalton, Illinois, by the way, was held off-site at the Park District building since it wasn't an official board meeting. It was moved there to accommodate the myriad residents who wanted to attend. The village of Dalton, Illinois' monthly town hall meeting once again made headlines last week for fiery confrontations with the scandal-ridden black female mayor. She's been accused of misdeeds ranging from weaponizing police and retaliatory business raids to spending taxpayer money on luxuries like traveling first class to Las Vegas. Last month, she reportedly vetoed the board's resolution to probe her spending over the misuse of funds allegations. While the FBI has already begun to investigate Henyard for misusing her local police force, the board's resolution calls for the FBI to do further investigation into her spending of the town's money. You see the pattern, my friends? Black Democrat Party mayors, male and female, always seem to be doing things they're not supposed to be doing. SPOTUS. What can you do? The White House is responding after Pope Francis condemns gender theory and affirms Biden's so-called support for the transgender freak community. French Dip, the black lesbian female known as Corinne Jean-Pierre, was facing questions about Pope Francis of the Catholic Church's declaration that condemns the radical, fake ideology known as gender theory on Monday, affirming President Biden's support for the transgender community. A reporter asked Corinne Jean-Pierre, French Dip, the quota hire, about the Pope's Monday document, which formally reaffirms and expands on the Catholic Church's assertion that attempts to alter an individual's immutable gender are ultimately misguided attempts to play God. That document does make sense. God makes you a male or a female, and no presidential declaration, no amount of makeup or bra stuffing or penis removal can turn you from a male to a female, and no amount of adidectomy operations and titty cutting will make you a male if you were born female. Jean-Pierre declined to say what Biden thought of the document specifically, but she added, Joe Biden supports the transgender freak community. She said, and I quote, we are pleased to see that the document furthered the Vatican's call to ensure that LGBTQ+ are protected from violence and imprisonment around the world. However, the president will continue to be an advocate for the rights, safety, and dignity of the LGBTQ+ community, including transgender people here in the U.S. A reporter said, what about the more specific comments about gender theory and transgender individuals? French Dip responded,
I'm going to be really careful. The president's role to litigate internal church policy, that's not his role, so I'm not going to say nothing on it. I'm going to be super careful there, but I can't speak to the president's stance. He's always being very clear on the importance of protecting and having protection for the transgender community and the broader LGBT community, and that has been very clear since day one of his administration.
On Monday, Pope Francis declared Dignitas Infinita, a dozen individual issues of the modern day through the lens of scripture and church thinking. He spoke about abortion, human trafficking, poverty, euthanasia, the death penalty, and other topics. Latin for infinite dignity, the document was released after more than 5 years in development and focuses on threats to human dignity in the modern world. It's not a new stance for the church. Pope Francis, forced to confront the rapid rise of gender ideology in recent years, has previously called it one of the world's most dangerous ideological colonizations. Another prominent aspect of gender theory is that it intends to deny the greatest possible difference that exists between living beings, sexual difference. This foundational difference is not only the greatest imaginable difference, but it is also the most beautiful and most powerful of them. In the male-female couple, the Pope writes, this difference achieves the most marvelous of reciprocities. It thus becomes the source of the miracle that never ceases to surprise us, the arrival of new human beings in the world. Because only men can impregnate women, no matter who pretends to be what, and you can't change that. This is the Truth Hurts program. Many people out there wondering about the transition to electric vehicles and the mandates that come from Joe Biden's radical climate change agenda. Range, we know, as a matter of fact, can be affected by extreme heat, extreme cold, the amount of load you place on that battery, the length of time you charge the battery, the method in which you charge the battery, and of course, the degradation of those batteries over time. I put together another one of my Shandu Motors car commercial parodies, and I did so to point out the problems with range. I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, President Joseph R. Biden have mandated that we all gonna be driving electric cars by 2030. And although that is just a pipe dream, and with potential electric vehicle buyers still on the fence about going EV due to concerns about range or travel on a single charge, we at Shandu Motors have been asked to disclose the range on our entire line of Shandu electric vehicle. From the Shandu Democrat 4-door sedan to the Shandu Fortwo subcompact, from the Shandu Integra Village Wagon to the all-new cackling Shandu Camel Coupe, you can expect 200 miles of range on a single full charge. Unless, of course, you turn on the headlights. Then you only get 185 miles on a single full charge. Unless, of course, you turn on the windshield wipers in a rainstorm. Then the range will drop to 175 miles. Unless, of course, you turns on the radio. Then the range gonna drop to 165 miles. Unless, of course, you wants to be comfortable and turn on the heater in the winter or turn on the air conditioner in the summertime. Then the range drops to 145 miles. Unless, of course, you and your passengers weigh more than 140 pounds each, and then the range will drop 1 mile for every 10 pounds of additional weight. So, using the lights, the wipers, the radio, and the air condition for a family of four at $160 each, this will drive your Shandu range down to 5 whole miles. And with the average charging time of 8 hours from flat to full, a whole family 100-mile rainy day summertime trip will only take you around 21 days for 100 miles. Shandu, at least there won't be any CO2 emission unless Pookie eats tacos.
Range drops significantly in extremely cold weather.
And with the revelation that the more weight you add to an electric car's interior, the more the tires degrade and the shorter the range becomes, maybe that will encourage larger Americans to begin dieting. A few minutes ago, I spoke about Karine Jean-Pierre. She says the economy is going in the right direction. Why don't Americans feel it in their wallets is the big question from Yale Kennedy of GoBankingRates.com. This article begins, in this election year, inflation is a hot-button issue for both consumers and presidential candidates. The latest Consumer Price Index data released on April 10th shows that inflation increased even higher than experts had anticipated in March, standing at 3.5%, following another 3.2% increase in February, much higher than the Federal Reserve's target. And the issue on top of mind for voters? According to a recent Data for Progress survey, 27% of all voters of all political affiliations identify the economy, then jobs, then inflation as their top priority when deciding on their vote. And amongst these respondents, 51% cited Joe Biden's inflation as their primary concern within that category. Yet, while the Biden administration is lying to you and saying the economy is going in the right direction, the facts prove otherwise, and many consumers are feeling the pinch in their wallets, their savings accounts, and their checking accounts. Karine Jean-Pierre French Dip, the little quota hire who was called buckwheat by a Nashville radio station owner and morning show host, said, quote, "We headed in the right direction as it relate to the economy. We pay attention to the data that show consumer confidence was up, right? And show that more than 14 million jobs were created. We saw unemployment at under 4% for 22 months. Those things matter." Well, Americans don't agree. And those Americans who have been recently laid off and those who will be laid off in the very near future with the impending recession looming are saying Joe Biden and his team have screwed the U.S. economy and population. Michael Collins is the founder and CEO of WinCap Financial. He explained that there are reasons why Americans may still be feeling the pinch despite the lies that we're in a strong economy. One factor, he claims, is the time lag between economic growth and their effect on individual households. He says it takes a while for the improvements to affect and trickle down to everyday Americans. Really? I can't believe a Democrat would use the term trickle down and try and spin it as a positive. He added that this could be due to a variety of factors such as wage stagnation, rising household costs due to Biden's inflation, increasing health care expenses, again, due to Biden's inflation. In addition, while inflation, he says, waned compared to a year ago, it does not erase the cumulative impact that Joe Biden's previous inflation has caused. We have had a 20% increase to overall prices tracked by consumer price index data since 2020. That, according to Stephen Cates, principal financial analyst at LaunchDat. This is the same amount that we paid over the entire decade from 2010 through 2020. It is hard for people to shake the stress of Joe Biden's rising prices, especially when prices were stable for an entire decade prior, including the 4 years of Donald Trump's administration. My Truth Hurts program listeners, let me put this in context for you. Inflation stood at 5% in March of 2023, 8.5% in March of 2022. It rose to 9.1% in June of 2022. And now, in March of 2023, it's up an additional 3.5%. Biden's stubborn inflation. It is a mismatch. Jeffrey Rosenkratz is a portfolio manager at Shelton Capital Management, and he said after the rapid progress that supposedly occurred in the second half of 2023, inflation is not moderating anymore. In fact, it is accelerating once again. Many of the components that consumers see on a daily basis are the ones where progress has been stubborn, he said. In essence, this is a timing mismatch. The economy is supposedly recovering, labor markets are tight, wages have been pushed only slightly higher, however, but prices have risen far beyond wage increases. Americans don't necessarily think about these things every day, but every time they fill up at the pump, every time they buy eggs or milk at the market, or think about a new recliner for grandpa, or they eat a meal at a restaurant, they're reminded that their inflation has affected their wallets negatively. The average American doesn't see the CPI basket every day. The American looks at his wallet every time he has to shell out $25 for a meal at McDonald's in California or pay $5.50 a gallon for fuel in California. Shelter costs, including rent, mortgage payments, continue to rise. It's difficult for families to find affordable housing. It can be challenging for those living in high-cost Democrat-run cities with limited housing options. The index for sheltering rose in March, as did the index for gasoline. Combine these two, and the entire monthly increase for the average American is felt heavily in their wallets. Joe Biden can say, and he can have his surrogates say all day long, that the economy is improving. But people, average voters, are looking in their wallets and knowing that that is an outright, bold-faced, dog-faced pony soldier lie on the part of Joe Biden. The surge in inflation, which surfaced at the beginning of Joe Biden's term in office,
continues to smolder today. It is crippling. It has busted budgets. It has diminished liquidity. It has caused a surge in credit card debt, exacerbated by the dramatic rise in interest rates that have not done a damn thing, and neither has the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, to reduce Bidenomics' negative effect on average, everyday Americans. The Democrats can lie all they want, but the fact remains, we are all broker now than we were when Donald Trump was the president. You're listening to the Truth Hurts program. San Francisco is proposing a new law that makes it illegal for a grocery store to close. Illegal for a grocery store to go out of business. What? In a groundbreaking move that's sending shockwaves through the business community, San Francisco is considering a law that will make it illegal for grocery stores to close without giving the city 6 months' notice. If enacted, it will fundamentally change the dynamics of business ownership and operation in the city. They're effectively imposing a dictatorship rule on private businesses. Under this radical dictatorial proposed legislation, grocery stores would be required by law to provide a 6 months notice before they close their doors permanently. Additionally, they would be required to actively seek out a replacement store operator to ensure uninterrupted access to food and essential goods for the residents of a neighborhood. The rationale behind the move is to safeguard the city's economy and ensure continued access to vital services. Here's the bottom line, though. The reason stores are closing is because of the high crime, the shoplifting, the thefts, the violence against grocery store workers. Companies can't remain profitable, therefore they can't remain in business in high crime, low prosecution cities like Democrat-run San Francisco. The timing of this proposal coincides with President Biden's criticism of grocery store pricing practices. He's accusing corporations of exploiting everyday American families by raising the prices in his inflationary economy. While the Biden administration tries to pressure food retailers to lower prices, San Francisco's response is to impose regulations aimed at preserving the accessibility of essential goods for its residents. For business owners, especially those in the retail sector, this potential law represents a shift in the regulatory landscape. Of course, it also raises questions about the legality and the extent of government intervention in business operations and the balance between economic stability and individual enterprise. It highlights the challenges faced by small businesses in navigating the massive run democratic hurdles and remaining competitive in a marketplace where high crimes and shoplifting rates take away all of the profits for those businesses. Critics rightfully argue that this move represents a dangerous erosion of business autonomy, with the government dictating the terms of operation and telling a store when they can and cannot close. By mandating a prolonged notice period and imposing obligations on closing businesses, this law is unconstitutional and will deter entrepreneurship and investment in San Francisco, leading to an unintended economic disaster. The context of the legislation includes concerns about rising crime rates, regulatory burdens, and shifting economic dynamics in urban centers like Democrat-run San Francisco. The city, of course, struggles with crime, homelessness, drug addiction, and economic inequality that they claim is the fault of Donald Trump somehow. This prompts policymakers to explore unconventional solutions to solve the problems that they have created. And in the face of evolving regulatory landscapes and socioeconomic pressures, business owners must adapt their strategies to navigate uncertain terrain effectively. If I were a grocery store owner right now, looking at high crime and shoplifting and violence and destruction and graffiti and vandalism, and I'm looking at a bottom line that is suffering because of these things, I'd close today. Shut them all down. Send a crystal clear message that you can't operate a profitable, successful business in a crappy Democrat-run city climate such as the one that has been created in San Francisco. Get out while you can. Get out before these new laws go into effect and you're forced to remain open, losing money, endangering your employees and your customers, and being forced to remain in business in an unprofitable, crime-ridden city. All right, gang, it looks like I've run out of time for this Friday edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go out there and make it a great day. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.
Copyright 2023, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. This program is pre-recorded.